Hi, Mike Gibson, Koch Ray, coming to you with a wrap-up of everything going on in the field of lipids. Koch, a lot of things this year. I'm personally very excited about the Lp(a) inhibitors. As someone who has an elevated Lp(a), talk to us a little bit about the advances in that field.
So I think one of the key things is that Lp(a), we basically not had any treatments that could really target this. So Lp(a) in an LDL-like particle with this ApoA moiety. So now basically all the approaches are looking at RNA-based therapies, either antisense, and one of the trials that's fully recruited is with pelacarsen, and that's the Horizons trial, and that's monthly dosing with an antisense to reduce Lp(a) by approximately 80% or so. And then what we've seen this year now, a bit like we saw with the LDL lowering data, is that siRNA-based therapies can give you similar, if not more, reductions in LDL, in Lp(a) rather, but actually with an infrequent dosing frequency. So maybe instead of once a month, you basically need twice a year or four times a year. And that could give you somewhere between 95% to 99% lowering of Lp(a). So we still have to prove, for example, that these treatments actually reduce cardiovascular events. So we've got one antisense and we've got two different compounds. Now there's SLN360 and there's the Amgen compound now that's going into cardiovascular outcome trials as well. So if we show there's a benefit, it then becomes, pretty much however you lower Lp(a) doesn't really matter. What matters is cost, convenience, side effects, et cetera, and availability. And that would really become a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, 20% of the population out there has no elevated Lp(a). They probably don't know it. And statins may raise it a little bit, and exercise and diet will bring it down. So this is a very, very important class. Talk to us about the kind of poor performance or even failure of the fibrates.
Yeah, the fibrates, I mean, I think we'd previously believed that the fibrates, we just targeted the wrong populations in all the trials. And, all of the early data was around in the pre-statin era. And so in the post-statin era, we've had trials like ACCORD that haven't shown a benefit. So this year, in the right patient population with a high enough event rate, with high enough triglyceride, we basically saw in prominent that PEMA fibrate, despite very large reductions in triglyceride and large reductions in the cholesterol alongside those, carried alongside triglyceride, didn't reduce cardiovascular events. Now, that is a real surprise and a shock. Now, what was interesting is that the number of atherogenic lipoprotein particles, ApoB, didn't change and in fact went up. Mm. So that perhaps is now telling us that your triglycerides are it's a marker of risk, but how you basically target that pathway matters. And in that regard, there's basically at least two different approaches that are potentially going to be available. One is with ANGPTL3. And one is with ApoC3 inhibitors. And essentially, we know that the genetics of people that have lifelong lower levels of these have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease. So very much like Lp(a), these targeted therapies will test whether lowering those particular causal pathways, as we believe it, likely translate into reductions in cardiovascular events. So think about this in terms of like inflammation. So CRP is downstream, it's a marker of risk. And we've seen that essentially lowering CRP per se doesn't reduce cardiovascular events. It was only when CANTOS went upstream and targeted IL-1 beta, i.e. inflammation in the causal part of that pathway, not the marker, if you will, of risk, showed a reduction in cardiovascular events. And that's probably what we need to do with triglyceride-related lipoproteins.
Not only targeting the causal pathway, but having therapies that don't have off-target toxicity. We see that again and again. And I, I hate to say it, but I guess that's why we do need large outcome studies, because even though you lower a surrogate, that doesn't mean there may not be some mischief in terms of the off-target toxicity. You're going to be presenting some exciting data about the four-year safety profile of inclisiran. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so we based inclisiran, when we completed the Orion-1 dose-finding study, what we basically did, we gave those that we selected that's now available around the world, the 300 milligrams. That was basically given to individuals in an open label extension study in just under 300 individuals. And we followed people up for 4 years. So this is the twice a year dosing regimen. And we saw that the same, this is obviously, there's no placebo comparison. We saw basically the same reduction and change in LDL from baseline that we'd seen in the first year, maintained over an additional 4 years, so over 5 years of follow-up in total. There were no additional safety signals. There was no loss of efficacy. There was also, interestingly, there was a group of patients who had placebo in the Orion-1 trial. At the end of that phase, when they entered Orion-3, they were given evolocumab, so 26 injections a year, i.e. every 2 weeks, over 1 year, and then switched. And as you would expect, you get slightly more reduction, slightly greater reduction in LDL cholesterol, because you're binding everything in blood, i.e. all the PCSK9 available. But actually, the price of that is 26 injections, so you're reliant on patients actually adhering to that. Now, on the other hand, when you basically switch these patients over, so we have 3 years of exposure to inclisiran after that first year of evolocumab, the LDL lowering is a little bit attenuated, as you would expect, because you're only shutting that hepatic PCSK9 production. But actually, you're getting these meaningful annualized reductions of 45-46% with two injections a year. So that actually means also, with no safety signals when you switch. So for our patient, it's about choice. Some patients are going to be forgetful. Some patients won't be able to do this. There'll be maybe cost issues in some parts of the world. But it's great for patients because you can do it with one approach, or you can do it with another. So that's the data that you'll see in the public domain next year.
And we have a new target, a new, I guess I should say, a new mechanism of targeting LDL, bempedoic acid. Talk to us about the CLEAR Outcomes study.
Yeah, very exciting because, you know, you've done enough of these over the years. And you do it, and you've got a great idea, then you've got to go and do the trial. So bempedoic acid has been tested, so it's available around the world, largely for people who are statin intolerant, I guess, but it can be used on top of statins. You get almost 20% reduction in LDL cholesterol on top of statins. For statin intolerant people, it's about 25-28% lowering. And CLEAR Outcomes was a trial of around 14,000 individuals who could not tolerate a regular dose of a statin. Either they had a prior adverse exposure, or they were just reluctant, even though they're unwilling or unable, let's say. And it was an event-driven trial. So, you know, it's powered on 1,600 or so 4-point MACE events. And bempedoic acid works in the same pathway as statins, but two steps up. It's working through the LDL receptor. And what we know top line from the press release is that the primary endpoint was met, i.e. reduction in cardiovascular events. Then we have to wait for the ACC to see the exact magnitude of the benefit. But it's the fifth mechanism of LDL lowering, fifth different mechanism of LDL lowering that's translated into reductions in cardiovascular events. So I think what really becomes important is for us to use the treatments that are available. And our biggest challenge is we don't use them well enough. We don't use combination therapies for those with advanced disease. And we should be thinking about prevention and starting interventions early, because LDL cholesterol exposure and accumulation in the vessel wall, what leads to heart disease. So, you know, we have to think about all of this now, I think, in a different way. We don't need any more evidence that LDL cholesterol causes atherosclerosis.
Well, you know, I think we've learned from a lot of fields, heart failure, et cetera, that you need a lot of different shots on goal. You know, lowering a certain target by many pathways may be a good idea because, say, statins, for instance, they rev up your absorption of cholesterol. Well, that's, thank goodness we have ezetimibe, which turns down the absorption. So by blocking multiple pathways, we may prevent those escape mechanisms that the body is so clever at. The other thing about bempedoic acid is it doesn't really affect muscle metabolism. So we may have a drug that has a better tolerance profile. I guess I'll add that we just finished enrolling over 18,000 people after a heart attack to getting an ApoA1 infusion, which is your body's good cholesterol, the building block of that, versus nothing. And, you know, ApoA1 is involved in getting the cholesterol out of your plaque. So it promotes what's called cholesterol efflux, or exit of the cholesterol from plaques. And in human studies, we know just a single infusion may reduce the amount of plaque in the leg by, say, 50%. We also know that getting that cholesterol out of the plaque is associated with better outcomes. So we will now see if we can improve early 90-day outcomes with this kind of infusion. So we're following everyone up for a year now. So a lot of hot topics this year, a lot of advances, many of them in small packages, small inhibiting RNA. Exciting time to be in prevention and lipidologist, wouldn't you say, Kosh?
Absolutely. And I'm particularly excited about Egypt because, I mean, I think one of the things about this is that actually all the other treatments will just slow down the progression of atherosclerosis. And this gives us an opportunity to assess whether we can actually reverse that in the highest risk group of all, you know, the patients that just had the MI and that early period. So I think we're all do these things, and it's incredibly exciting, you know, to have these different personalized approaches for those that need appropriate treatment.
Well, thanks for joining us, Kosh, and thanks to all of you for joining us for this year in review.